Worship Sunday. If you're visiting and you're wondering if I'm the pastor, I am not, because when our pastor's here, somebody brings this up for him. Me, I'm the substitute, and I only have one arm, and I'll get it. Don't worry about it. Just kidding. No, it came from somewhere. But welcome. You are here on Family Worship Sunday. We do this every fifth Sunday. We have four or five a year, right? And our theme for this year is Heroes of the Faith. Our first hero was Jesus over here. Today we're talking about Joseph. And so we are going to continue this throughout the year. We bring the kids together in here with us. We do crazy stuff like announcements and try to poison our youth pastor, things like that. That's what happens on Family Sundays. And we are going to talk about Joseph today. But I'm going to explain a game to you that we're doing. Kids, youth, you should have gotten a clipboard. Youth, you can do the clipboard thing, or you can do the adult way of doing this game. So as I go through the sermon, I'm going to be mentioning colors, because of course Joseph is, among other things, famous for his coat of many colors. And when you hear a color, either circle it on your paper, write it out, keep track of how many colors I mention in the sermon. And then at the end of the sermon, take the clipboard to Miss Nina, let her see how many colors you got, get a candy or a snack or something. Teens, adults, you can do the same thing, but you're on the honor system. You go out there and you grab a snack, but remember, God is watching, so make sure you're listening. Make sure you're listening, all right? So let's pray to get started. But my friends, as we pray, let me mention to you the fact, if you hadn't heard about it yet, our pastor, T.W. and Jenny, have had two hits. They've had two losses in their family this past week. And so we just want to make sure that we are praying for them and that we are giving them space. That we are giving them space, that if throughout the weeks, you'll know. If you need anything, God has provided an amazing staff here. And you know who to go to. If it's music, you go to me. If it's you know who your pastors are. If you don't know who to go to, go to Tyler. Go to Tyler. But if you have questions and you need something, office@hpf.org. We need to surround them in prayer and to back away physically. So let's take care of them that way, please. Father God, we thank you for the heroes of the faith that you have put in our lives. Heroes that brought us to you. Jesus, you are the ultimate hero. We thank you for your word and how we can study heroes like Joseph today. Thank you for our hero. He would hate. Thank you for our heroes, Tyler, T.W. and Jenny. And we just pray that you would surround them, Holy Spirit, that you would comfort them, counsel them, lead and guide them and their families as they go through these next few days and weeks. So just thank you, Father. And I just pray that as we go through this time together, that we would be encouraged to go and be someone's hero. Take them a meal, invite them to church, give them an encouraging word, and most definitely to lift up the name of Jesus before them, that you would draw them to yourself like you said you would. So thank you, Father. Increase the kingdom in us and through us during this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so as I said, throughout the sermon, you're going to be hearing different colors. And so you got to be listening carefully because they're not going to be as obvious as this first one. Purple. So a businessman had two sons, and he was on the road a lot. And every time he'd come back from a business trip, he would bring the boys gifts. Well, this one time, he forgot. And when the boys asked where their presents were, he said, "Tomorrow, we're going to go to the store, and you're going to pick out anything you want." So they go to the store, walk in, first thing they see is the candy counter. And the boys said, "Yes, that's what we want, candy." And the dad said, "Hold on, let's keep looking." So they keep looking around, and they see cowboy suits, cowboy outfits, hat, guns, sheriff star, the works, and that's what they want. And the dad says, let's keep looking. Take your time. Keep walking through the store. Get to the sporting goods section, see these basketballs, they grab one each, they're dribbling them, they can't wait to get home. Basketballs, that's what we want. And the dad says, let's keep looking. So they do. And at the back of the store, they see two BMX bicycles. And the dad says, how'd you like to take those home? And they did. The two boys left the store with far more than they had bargained for. Because the dad, their father, refused to let them settle for less than the best he had in mind. The two boys thought candy would be awesome, but their father had something much, much better in mind. And that's the way God is. He's the same way. He has plans for us that we can't even begin to imagine. We come up with these ideas that we think are awesome, but God has something far better in mind. And the life of Joseph illustrates this. Joseph's life demonstrates four truths that you'll probably find in your life as well as you follow God's path for you. And if you can remember these truths, then no matter how dark the clouds get, how depressing the circumstances, or how harsh the people are around you, and all of that describes Joseph's life and probably yours at some point or another, no matter how bad it gets, always keep in mind the fact that God has something special for you. So let's look at the story of Joseph. Jacob lived in the land of his father's sojournings, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was pasturing the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his sons because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all the other brothers, they hated him and they could not speak peacefully to him. So truth number one that we see in Joseph and in you, there is a special person inside of you. Joseph was different. And if you read the story of his life, it's plain to see that Joseph stood out from his brothers in his commitment, his character, his clothing. And because of that, the brothers hated him. They were green with jealousy. Being different is socially unacceptable. You see, the secret to popularity is conformity. And the world tells us that to get along, you have to go along. To get along, you gotta play along. And this is the reality of the world. And it's true for kids at school as much as big kids at work. Everyone wants to fit in. Everyone wants to be accepted. But guess what? Being different is okay. And not only is it okay, it's what we're called to be. While the world calls us to conform, the Bible gives us a totally different message. It warns us against conformity. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. That literally means do not let the world press you into its mold. This might sound cyclical, but it's true. It works. Be different because you are different. The main reason why you should be different is because you are. God made you an individual created in his image, and you do not have to conform to the crowd. The word says that we are not of this world, and it calls us to be holy because he is holy and he is in us. And in that situation, it means be set apart. And you know there are other people, and sometimes it's been us, that are like chameleons. They change depending on what friends they get around. If they're around orange people, they're going to act like the orange people. If they're around pink people, they're going to act pink. They worship at church with us. And then they go to school or to work and they're mean. That is not what a Christian should act like. Think of Daniel. And Daniel, by the way, is our next hero of the faith. And at that family Sunday, our speaker will be Cody Singleton. So start the party there. Woo-hoo. Looking forward to that. So at the age of 17, Daniel 17, not Cody. At the age of 17, hold on a second. 17, that's also Joseph's age. Young people, don't let anyone look down on your youth. You can lead us. You can lead people in school. 17, you are not supposed to be waiting to get older. You can do all this now. All right? So at 17, Daniel took a stand that was the equivalent to social suicide. He chose to be different, and as a result, God was able to bless his life, and God was greatly glorified through Daniel. And all I'm saying is that you don't have to fit into anyone's mold to be accepted. The only person you have to please is God. If you are living your life in a way that pleases him, then you are living the right kind of life. Never sell out to the world or to people who want to make you like them. So make up your mind now in elementary school, in middle school, high school, college, the workforce. Make up your mind that you're not going to settle for anything less than God's approval. And guess what? You already have it. After all, he made you. He loves you. He died for you and he saved you. And if you're like the rich young ruler who would go to Jesus and say, "Tell me what I must do to be saved," if you're not sure that you're saved, then please come talk to me or one of the shepherds back in the corner after service. We would love to walk you through that. Especially because if you're saved, then you're going to heaven to live with God in eternity. God made you in his image, a unique and special individual who gets to live for God now. Genesis 37 says, "Now Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more." See, the dream was a part of God's plan for Joseph, and it brings us to our second truth. There is a special plan for you. In Joseph's dream, the Lord revealed the future to Joseph. And in the dream, God showed him that one day all the resources and all the rulers were going to bow down at the feet of Joseph. See, God has a special plan, had a special plan for the life of Joseph, and he has a special plan for you. Sad thing is, many people lack the faith or the vision, won't take the time to find out what God's plan is for them. There's something he wants you to do. He has something for you to do that no one else can do. He wants to work in you, through you, around you, and in a very unique and special manner. Ephesians 2 says that you are his workmanship, you are his work of art, and that you were created in Christ Jesus for good works, that you should walk in them. But you might as well know up front that there will be those around you who are going to try to squash your dreams, to stop God's plan for you and your good works. There will be those who will hate you because you have a dream, and maybe sometimes it's because they don't. Notice how Joseph's brothers reacted to him. They saw him from afar, and before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. This section is kind of crazy to me because the verses that follow say one of the brothers said, "No, we can't do that. We can't kill him. That's our brother. Let's sell him." And they thought that was a good idea. And they did it. So his brothers were angry with Joseph. They saw red when they saw him coming. There will always be those who lack the faith and the vision that you have, and they will tell you that your dreams are either inconceivable, impractical, impossible. You want some examples of some naysayers? I'll give you some. Alexander Graham Bell's father-in-law said that the telephone was a toy no one will play with. And the famous British physicist Lord Kelvin said that the radio had absolutely no future. British royal astronomer George Bidel Airy said, "The computer is absolutely worthless." I love this one. In 1899, Charles H. Dwell, who was the director of the United States Patent Office, made this statement: "Everything that can be invented has been invented. And he was so convinced of this that he tried to get President McKinley to abolish his job for the coming year. But regardless of what the critics say, never, never let anyone kill your dreams. And see, I believe Joseph knew this truth, that God had a plan for him. And that's what sustained him through being a slave in Egypt and unjustly put in prison. Jesus said that he came that we might have life and life abundant. So how tragic then is it to believe that you could be saved and then that's it? No plan, no purpose. Just wait it out. That is not God's plan. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat. And looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing gum, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Meanwhile, later on in the chapter, the Midianites sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard. You're going to love this one. Truth number three, there are special problems that are just for you. Sometimes people will flippantly say to one another, sounds like a personal problem, like that's your problem, not mine. And God would say, yeah, that's right. This is a problem I have for you. The life of Joseph is one of great problems and trials. His brothers conspired against him. He was thrown into a pit, a dark black pit with no water in it, and he was sold as a slave. In chapter 39, he's falsely accused of hurting a woman. Chapter 40, he's thrown into prison. Joseph was ditched by his family, forgotten by his friends, and frustrated by his failures. But please remember that all these things happened to Joseph, and they were a part of God's plan for his life. It's a hard pill to swallow, but it's true nonetheless. Life, my friends, is not fair. If Jesus came to this earth and was crucified, then what makes us think that we're going to live a life where nothing bad ever happens, that we're going to be treated fairly? So why did these things happen to a young man who was guilty of nothing more than obeying the will of God? Well, the answer is found in Genesis 50:20. Joseph is talking to his brothers here, and he says to them, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." You see, Joseph is the Old Testament illustration to one of the New Testament's greatest promises that we find in Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Through all the problems that Joseph faced, the Lord is teaching him the difference between growing old and growing up. We need to remember that God is always doing great things in our lives. We just might not always like them. Remembering this will help us when the storms hit and when we're surrounded by gray storm clouds. Because while it may look like a storm to us, God is up to something with us in mind. God is always guiding you. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his ways. Psalm 37, 23. God is always guarding you. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Psalm 121. God is always gauging you. He is constantly measuring your growth, and not like a stern taskmaster or a work evaluator that's trying to find you doing something wrong. This is our daddy we're talking about. When he summoned a famine on the land and broke all supply of bread, he had sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. His feet were hurt with fetters. His neck was put in a collar of iron until what he had said came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. Psalm 105. And the Lord is always growing you. See, God isn't as concerned about delivering us out of our mess as he is about growing us up in our mess. God's far more concerned about how we react to what we face than what we face. That makes sense. Someone once said, God is in the saint building business. And that's you, saint. He is building you up. Please remember that whatever you may face in this world, however deep and dark the valleys you walk through, however heavy the loads you have to bear, God is allowing these things in your life to strengthen you and help you become more like Him. The question is, how are you responding to the problems that come your way? Are you scared? Acting cowardly like a yellow belly? Or are you being strong and courageous as He calls us to be? And it is hard to be strong and courageous sometimes, but our fourth truth should help us with that and bring us great comfort, because there is a special person with you. Repeatedly, the Bible tells us that God was with Joseph. In everything Joseph faced, he had a helper and a companion. Three times in chapter 39, we are told that the Lord was with Joseph. So let's look at how the Lord was with him. Now, Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, and an Egyptian, had brought him from the Ishmaelites, who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all he did to succeed in his hands. So God was with him in the servitude, in being a servant, even a slave. Even though he was a slave, Joseph conducted himself like the ruler God was preparing him to be. Instead of griping, complaining, whining, and bellyaching about his situation, he just served Potiphar and did the best job he could. Man, that is a huge lesson to learn. If you ever want to rule, you have to learn to serve. You will never be over until you learn to be under. Joseph was learning humility. And one of the ways he learned it was through Potiphar's wife. She called to the men of her household and said to them, "See, he has brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He came in to me to lie with me, and he cried out with a loud voice. And as soon as he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried out, and when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried out, he left his garment beside me and fled and got out of the house. Then she laid up the garment by her until his master came home, and she told him the same story, saying, 'The Hebrew servant whom you brought among us came in to me to laugh at me, but as soon as I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment beside me and fled out of the house.' As soon as his master heard these words that his wife spoke to him, 'This is the way your servant treated me,' his anger was kindled toward Joseph. But God was with him. God was with him in the slander. Potiphar's wife lied. She had tried everything in her power to get Joseph to do the wrong thing, but he stood strong in the Lord and fended off her advances. God was teaching Joseph that there is no price on having a clean conscience. He lost his coat, but he kept his conscience. God was teaching Joseph a lesson in purity and in self-control, both of which are essential to those in leadership positions. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who would do it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made succeed." And in case you didn't count, you heard prison or prisoner 8 times right there. God was with Joseph in his suffering. Even when Joseph was forced to endure the shame of false imprisonment, God was with him and God blessed him. But you probably know the rest of the story. God turned tragedy, temptation, torment, and trouble into a great triumph. God brought all Joseph's dreams to pass, and he taught Joseph this lesson through it. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. And that's the lesson he's trying to teach us as well. Joseph never stopped believing. He never stopped trusting. He never stopped dreaming until the Lord brought everything to pass in his life that God wanted to do. Joseph didn't get down, didn't get sad or blue. Through it all, Joseph never wavered. He never compromised and he never flinched at what the Lord was up to in his life. And as a result, he won a great victory. And so can you. I want to close with this. I want to close with a blessing from Scripture over you, especially as you go through hard times. I want to share a short little story with you. And then, unlike Pharaoh, I will let the people go. So I bless you with 1 Corinthians 15:58, especially as you go through a hard time. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. He sees you. I heard about a guy who showed up to watch a Little League baseball game. He looked at the scoreboard, and it said 21-0. A little boy was sitting on the bench in the dugout while his team was out in the field and the other team was batting. The fellow goes up to him, and he says to the boy, "Son, it looks pretty bad for your team, doesn't it?" And the little boy said, "Oh, no, sir, we haven't even come up to bat yet." That's the attitude we need to have because of the God we serve. Sometimes it may look like the world and the devil is winning and the mistakes you've made are weighing you down. But my friends, don't forget that you have been washed of your sins. You were white as snow. Remember that God is on your side and you will win because he has something special for you. So keep dreaming, keep trusting. Keep serving because God is preparing a great victory for you to enjoy. And he will get the glory. I have a friend who says, you get a story to tell and he gets the glory. He truly has something special for you because you are special to him. Amen.